Now, Lord God and Heavenly Father, we are so humbled to be able to come into your presence, the presence of the Almighty God, as it said in tonight's reading, who dwells in unapproachable light, who no man has ever seen. And yet, through your grace and mercy, you have raised us up through your Son, Jesus Christ, and brought us into the presence of the one true God. You have made your home in our hearts, Lord God, and through your Son, Jesus Christ, we are being molded and shaped into the image of your Son. I pray tonight that I will not speak on my own words, my own initiative, but only the words that you have blessed me with, that these words be tested and come straight from your scripture. And I pray that each of us, myself included, will have ears to hear tonight. And hearts that will respond to you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So I've recently started a new job working in a high school. And part of the benefit of being in this new job is I get to redo my high school degree or whatever you call it. I get to go through high school again. That's really interesting. I love being around the young people. I especially love learning about the curriculum. This last term, we finished the last few weeks on World War I. In particular, one thing that really struck me was the Australian Light Horse Battle in Beersheba. Our Aussie troops had to travel for 3 days into the desert without any water. On the third day they camped, they had to take Beersheba. Without taking Beersheba, there'd be no water for the Triple Entente, which is the Allied forces, Britain, France, and Russia. We had to take it to give us this desert corridor. Without it, there'd be no water for the Allies. If they didn't take this Beersheba that day, they would have died in the desert. So they had no choice. They had to go into battle. The military holding Beersheba had cannons. They had trenches, trained soldiers. But our boys rode in knowing that they had no choice but to succeed. Though the cannons were firing around them, and blowing up their friends near them, they had to keep going. Though the firing from the enemy troops were going over their heads, they had to press on to win the battle. They leapt over the trenches with their horses, though bayonets were raised up. They had to go through and finally take Beersheba. And though the odds were against them, they succeeded. And it was a great triumph. But they knew that if they didn't take Beersheba that day, they would have died in the desert. They had no choice. And like our Christian faith, we have to fight. If we do not fight the good fight of faith, then our faith is at serious risk of dying. So, Christian, are we fighting the good fight of faith? The Bible tells us that the Christian faith is filled with peace. That the closer we grow in our understanding of our Heavenly Father, the more God's peace will fill our lives. Though we go through trials, though life will rise up against us, we should always know the peace of God in our heart. But we need to be aware. We need to know that having the peace of God in our heart does not mean that we will not have to fight. In fact, the closer we draw to our Heavenly Father, the more we will have to fight. Tonight's scriptures, we're going to be examining three questions which I feel come out of it. Are we prepared for the fight? Do we know who we are fighting or what we are fighting? And do we know how a fight can actually be a good fight? A good fight for our faith. It seems quite contradictory. Let's look at verse 12, shall we? Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, which you were called, and you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the Christian life, we must be prepared to fight. Paul reminded Timothy that the Christian life is not a life of ease and leisure. If we desire to survive this world with our faith intact and enter into God's eternal glory, then we need to prepare to fight. We need to be ready to fight for that good fight of faith. A boxer who enters the boxing ring with one arm tied behind his back is not prepared to fight. Are we prepared to fight? From this passage, we see that our preparation for the fight starts when we take hold of our knowledge and understanding of who it is we are serving. By knowing God and walking closer to our God, we will be prepared for the fight. In verse 13, Paul says, I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things. This tells us that God is with us. We are reminded that we are always in the presence of God. It continues in verse 13, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Reminding us again that we are always in the presence of Jesus Christ. Our Father and our Savior have made their home within us. They are always with us. We're reminded that Jesus has gone before you and I. He has fought the good fight for us already on the cross. He has already won the battle. Verse 15 and 16. I hope these verses are underlined in your Bible. Such an amazing description of our God. I absolutely love it. Our Heavenly Father, it says, He who is blessed, the only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, who no man has seen or can see. This is our God whom we serve. No one can stand against our Heavenly Father. No one can stop His mighty will. For us to fight effectively, we need to be prepared. Do we prepare each day for the fight? By reading and feeding our souls on the scripture. Do we prepare each day for the fight by being in prayer, talking to our Heavenly Father throughout the day? These are the way that we will grow to know our Heavenly Father. These are the ways that we are prepared for the fight. In verse 14, we read, And you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're told that we need to keep the commandment. But What does this mean? Are we called to live a perfect life? Not quite there yet. Ask me next week, I should be close. No, of course not. We are called to keep on living for righteousness. Though we might fall to sin, and we all do, we must fight for righteousness. Not to become disillusioned with our sinful nature and give up, but rather allowing God's grace to pick us up and to push us forward as we fight onward towards righteousness. Who has taken away our sin? Jesus. Who has taken away the reproach of our sin? Jesus. All we need to do is fight, to keep on fighting. As well as being prepared every day for the good fight, we need to know who it is that we are fighting against. The first 10 verses of this chapter actually give us 3 really good examples, situations that Timothy and us need to be aware of. The first situation we come across is the slaves' attitude towards their masters. The next is people who deliberately twist scripture, teaching things that are against God's word. Finally, we have people who are trapped in their love of wealth and their possessions. From these 3 examples of people or behaviors, we see 3 key areas that we all need to be vigilant fighting each day. From verse 1 and 2 of this chapter, we see the slave's attitude towards their master. From this small passage, we're encouraged to consider and examine our own hearts, to see if within our heart of hearts there is an attitude, there is a belief that we have that we know has no right to be in our life. We are called to fight against our own nature, our old nature, I should say. Do we come daily to the Lord, asking Him to remove those dead areas of our life which we know do not belong there? The second area in verse 3-5 is the person teaching things that are against Christ's word. They take scripture so it sounds nice, but then it goes against God's word. In other words, they're deliberately teaching a lie. In this situation, we must be prepared not to fight against flesh and blood like you and I, but against spiritual forces. Jesus explains this further in the Gospel of John, in chapter 8, verse 43-45, when he came across the Pharisees. In John chapter 8, verse 43, he says, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil." Pretty strong words. But we need to be mindful of who is really working in their hearts. "You want to do the desire of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whatever he speaks is a lie. He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." We're reminded this scripture is reminding us that behind man's lies is the devil and his forces. He is seeking to trip up those who are saved. He is seeking to keep blind those who are lost to the truth. We must prepare daily to fight the good fight against spiritual forces every day. In verse 6 to 10, I think it's a challenge for all of us. This final situation, we need to prepare to fight against those things which take God's position as our first love. Paul warns Timothy to be content with what he has, to be on guard that he isn't tempted to seek after wealth or possessions. This is an example of letting things in this life take God's rightful place in our heart. We all need to be on guard and prepare for the fight, the good fight. That moment we sense anything that is creeping in that might be taking God's rightful place. We need to be keeping on fighting for righteousness to make sure that we are not allowing the worldly lusts and desires fill our heart. We must ensure that we do not give anything more attention than we are giving our Heavenly Father. But are we prepared to fight against what we desire? Have we given God his rightful place in our heart? So Paul tells us that we are not only to fight the good fight of faith, when we enter those times of, Paul tells us that we're to fight the good fight. He says that it is a good fight. It just seems so contradictory. How can a fight ever be good, especially for our faith? It is through the testing of our faith that it is strengthened. When a tree is staked, though that stake provides stability to the tree, ultimately that tree will become weak and will break. A tree that is not staked is moved by the wind, even shaken. But that movement and that shaking creates stronger, deeper roots. It creates a thicker, stronger trunk. Though the tree is shaken, it becomes stronger. Likewise, the good fight of faith. When our faith is tested, it is strengthened and we learn to endure. James says in James chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfected and complete, lacking in nothing. As we fight the good fight of faith, we are called to take hold of eternal life. Paul reminds us that this eternal life is within our grasp. We just need to reach out and take hold of it. But what is this eternal life? What does it mean to take hold of eternal life? And what does it look like? I love Jesus' explanation he gives us for eternal life. He says in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Oh, I love that. That's such a great description. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Eternal life is not something that we'll reach when we die. Eternal life is for God's children to grasp, take hold of now. Eternal life is knowing the only true God and His perfect Son. Have we taken hold of eternal life? As we enter the battle for the fight of the good fight of faith, remember that it is God who goes before us and fights for us. If only we would trust Him. He promises us in Deuteronomy, in many places, but particularly Deuteronomy. I love this promise. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 3 to 4, he says, He shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, or we can put in God's children, which is us included. Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid. Do not panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Be encouraged. Prepare for the fight by having a good understanding of who your God is. Spend time preparing for the fight each day by reading God's word and being in prayer to Him. Do not be discouraged when you fall to sin, but continue to stand up and fight the good fight of faith. Fight against those wrong attitudes, those wrong heart desires that you have. Be prepared to fight against spiritual forces. And fight against those things in your life, in my life, that want to take God's place in our heart. Take hold. Take hold of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's just come before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that it is You who goes before us to fight the fight. We thank You that You have told us to be prepared for the fight, and that You have given us the ability to prepare through Your word, through prayer, through Your Son within us. We just pray that You'll help us to be mindful of the fight and ready to stand firm, to take hold of eternal life, which You have blessed us with. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. Oh.